This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. Is that coming through?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm not getting it in my earphones. Community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.
This is Ecotopia. I'm KZFR. I'm Susan Trudy. Tonight, we'll be talking about the Tuscan Water District, which our guests call a water heist. We'll be talking by phone with Jim Brobeck of Aqua Alliance and Jeff Obser, a local cartographer and one of the thousands of residents who will be affected by what happens to the Tuscan water aquifer.
Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by CNA Cleaning, serving Chico, Paradise, Durham, and Oroville since 1989. Bonded and insured, CNA Cleaning offers regular and one-time residential and commercial cleaning services using environmentally friendly cleaning products. CNA Cleaning also offers ultrasonic blind cleaning. For more information, or for employment opportunities, call CNA Cleaning. They're at 514-7738. And we are made possible by the Chico Natural Foods Cooperative, offering organic and local produce, organic groceries, supplements, as well as hot food, ready-to-eat sandwiches, cold brew coffee, and more. The co-op accepts online orders for curbside pickup and is looking for co-op owners to serve on its board of directors. For details, visit chiconaturalfoods.coop/BOD. Chico Natural Foods Co-op, open every day on the corner of 8th and Main. And we'll remind you that the opinions voiced on Ecotopia do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. We'll take a short break and be back to talk with Jim Brobeck and Jeff Obser. Here is Jim Brobeck singing his own song, accompanying himself on the slide guitar, Hidden Waters.
Fight to keep our underground water where we need it, right here. everything. Oh yeah, fight to keep our underground water where we need it.
And that was Hidden Water, written by one of our guests tonight, and it by Jimmy Brobeck, and it sets out our theme for the evening, Hidden Water. Jim Brobeck is a water analyst. He works with Aqua Alliance and has served in various ways trying to protect the water of the North State. Our other guest is Jeff Obser. He is a cartographer who lives in the Tustin Water District footprint and in observing what where the Tuscan Aquifer is and where he lives and where other things are going on, he realized that he wanted to be more engaged in finding out what's going on with the Tuscan Water District and becoming an activist. So welcome, Jeff and Jimmy. Nice to have you both.
Hi, Judy. Hi, Stephen.
Groundwater for Butte, you're a new organization. What is it and why was it formed?
At this point, we are engaging in community outreach to try and form a coalition of the people who are affected by the sinking groundwater levels.
That's Jeff's voice, by the way.
This is Jeff, yeah. We are an explicitly political organization, which doesn't exist yet, hasn't existed until now. Aqua Alliance is a very venerable environmental organization, has been fighting the good fight for many years. That moment when I realized that I personally had to do something came last fall when I got the first ballot for this Tuscan Water District in the mail, and I couldn't believe my eyes. Where do I begin? I was aware that Tuscan was in the offing because I'm connected with Deborah Lucero, former county supervisor. I guess I'll go all the way back to the beginning when I first found out, thanks to Deborah, that they want to run a pressurized pipe full of sewage from Paradise right past my house to the west of Chico.
But that's not related to the water heist, right? It's just a sewer line, not necessarily.
No. Well, everything's related, Stephen, but, you can feel free to keep me from getting too deep into this.
I'm also just trying to make sure our listeners understand the distinctions.
Well, that relates to a map reaching my eyes, and I love maps, and I can read them, and I make them, and I as soon as I saw that sewer pipe map, it was on my birthday 2 years ago. Happy birthday, Jeff. Someone's coming for your latest home. And so I said, well, what do I do about this? Then that now appears to be the least of our worries, because this is not a particularly challenging technology, and no matter how many tens of millions of dollars they're going to spend on it, I can only assume they're trying to get the unused water from Paradise over to West Chico so that they can then clock a certain number of acre feet per year that then they can say that they're not responsible for preventing being pumped out of the ground. That's speculation, but I think it's fair speculation. Tuscan Water District ballot comes in the mail. I have 3 acres. So here's your name, your APN number. You get 3 votes. The largest landowner gets 12,000 votes. Maybe the people organizing this effort, who have been at it for years now, long before the public had any idea what was going on — I still think the public has far too little idea what's going on.
I agree.
Maybe they thought that, just homeowners, people like me living out there, were going to say, it's just another $30 a year. Well, maybe it'll help the water situation. Good. The way I read it was that they informed me how little I matter in the whole process. And then after that, when I started reaching out to people I know in my life, it turns out a lot of people are very upset about this. And before long, there was a meeting, and there was a strategy session, and it's time to get David to shake his fist at Goliath. What are we going to do about this? I on my morning walks, I have neighbors, and I, do you know what is going to be done about this? And the answer quickly was, if I and we don't do something about this, nobody's going to do anything. And the outcome of that is, to my mind, far too risky to just allow that to happen. I feel like I'm fighting for my own home, principally.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to just step back a little bit and get to do some basics first. Either one of you, Jeff or Jim, of course, could answer this question. But could you describe, one of you describe, the Tuscan Aquifer? How big is it? Where is it? Who does it serve? What is its current status? And how, where and how is groundwater being depleted?
I'll take that.
Okay, mm-hmm. Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Experts describe the Tuscan Aquifer as a multi-layered groundwater system that underlies the North Sac Valley from about Red Bluff to the Sutter Buttes and from the edge of the Sierra Cascade foothills on the east and into Glenn County, as far west as Orland and Willows. The lower Tuscan Aquifer is about 500 feet below the surface in Chico, 1,100 feet in Hamilton City, and up to 1,500 feet below Orland. The aquifer has been depicted as layered like a lasagna, but new studies show it to be more complex in structure. For instance, Dr. Green from Cal State Chico Center for Water and Environmental describes it more like a bowl of spaghetti with interconnected stream channels buried by overlapping volcanic mud flows. In either case, geologists seem to agree that it contains paleo channels, remnants of rivers or streams that have been filled or buried by younger sediment, which subsequently gets cut or eroded by the next generation of stream flow. Isotope studies indicate that the lower Tuscan is replenished by precipitation on foothill and mountains on the eastern side of the valley. The recharged water flows toward the southwest, and under cemented Tuscan lava cap. This creates a pressurized lower Tuscan aquifer. Now, my model of the Tuscan aquifer is not based on pasta varieties, but I look at it more like a biological circulatory system with pressurized arteries, the lower Tuscan, that feed ever smaller blood vessels and capillaries, the upper Tuscan. Mm-hmm. And like a circulatory system, the smaller vessels need to have arterial pressure to function. And how much water is in it? The aquifer system is not a bathtub. The pumpable water is in layers of gravel and sand, and there's layers of clay and volcanic mud flow that do not produce water. The total amount of water available is only a small portion of the existing water, and it should be limited to the amount that's naturally recharged minus the amount that must provide base flow to streams and rivers to be healthy. Let's see, who does it serve? The shallow, unpressurized aquifer is a source for many domestic wells, such as Jeffrey's Well, mm-hmm. as well as the groundwater-dependent ecosystems, which include the Chico Urban Forest. The deep, pressurized aquifer is the source of Chico's municipal supply and most of the recently developed agricultural wells on both sides of the Sacramento River. Irrigation districts that have historically used river diversions to irrigate crops have started developing the lower Tuscan. They've punched many new wells down deep into the lowest portion of the pressurized aquifer to supplement their surface water supply. What is the status currently? The overall level of the Tuscan aquifer is trending downward as the cumulative impact of increased extractions exceed natural recharge. Now, the citizens of Chico have done a good job in cutting the amount of water used. They've cut it by 30% during the past few years. Some data indicates that orchard crops in Butte County are not expanding, but the new demand on the aquifer is expanding in Glenn and Tehama counties as senior water districts market their surface water allotments and replace these with groundwater. And also there's investor-owned agriculture west of the river that's breaking new ground on new orchards. The greatest decline in the aquifer level is occurring in Glenn and Colusa counties. Agriculture pumpers are pulling so much water out that the land is subsiding. This land subsidence, which has plagued the San Joaquin Valley for decades, is occurring near the I-5 corridor between Arbuckle and Orland. The cumulative impact of the shared North State aquifer appears to contribute to the overall decline in groundwater levels all the way into Butte County. According to hydrologists in the Chico-based David's Engineering, they say that the ultimate effects of pumping can occur significantly after pumping starts or even after it's ceased. Mm-hmm. And the timescales involved to aquifer response and other stresses can be on the order of decades. And that makes it difficult to associate cause with effect.
Yeah.
In general, the longer it takes to have an effect, the longer these effects persist, even if the pumping causing the effects is halted immediately. So, I hope those answers your question, Susan.
It does.
It does, well. So that's the aquifer. Maybe we could talk a little bit of what is the Tuscan Water District. How was it formed? The tagline on your website says, Stop the Tuscan Water Heist. So fill us in on the Tuscan Water District, what it is, what it proposes to do.
Where it came from.
We have lots of questions.
Well, I will recount that to you to the best of my ability because I'm a newbie compared to Jim, and I'm learning as I go. What needs to be acknowledged and honored is that the growers in this area are facing growing pressures from declining water, and currently nut prices are depressed. There's mm-hmm. a lot of concern and I think anguish on some of their parts, especially families who've been here for generations. I'm with them in wanting to preserve their way of life because their way of life is my way of life. It's beautiful and it's just wonderful to have an agricultural area. We don't want to lose that. I don't want to see subdivisions sprawl west of Chico. But somewhere along the way in the last few years, maybe about 5 years ago, according to Deborah Lucero's accounting of what happened, it was decided at the county level, officials got together with the then head of the county water department and decided to go cope with the SGMA law, the state groundwater law of 2014, which really sort of threw down the gauntlet. So you've got to come up with a sustainability plan or we're just going to come in and do it for you. And nobody around here wants to hear that. And I understand that. So the county does have the power and the authority and the obligation to manage the groundwater. They decided to go the route of LAFCO, which is the Local Area Formation Commission. That is a state agency, not a county agency. Every county has one. They're there to look after special districts, look after the boundaries and the changes to boundaries of incorporated areas to help areas incorporate if they want to. But they're also there to administer or to sign off on the creation of a new governing entity. Chico's water director, Paul Gosselin, at that point decided that was the way to go to deal with the problem, was to form a water district. And to hear Deborah Lucero's recounting of it, she was only told pretty late in the game while she was a supervisor. They already had a private firm developing this plan before they even let her know. Mm-hmm. And which is totally inappropriate, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But there it was, and there it is, and it's the Tuscan Water District has already been invested in by parties whose identities none of us can find out because the county and LAFCO have not disclosed them despite repeated requests. Somebody is close to $1 million in the hole on this already. Mm-hmm. And I know $1 million isn't what it used to be.
It is to me.
And I know some of the larger growers, you know, can afford to live in the real Tuscany.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of money. And at the LAFCO meeting last week, I heard the LAFCO attorney come right out and say, oh, well, they don't need to be paid back if this fails. Well, how? Really? I don't believe that. The assessment on our land would be $10 per acre to start, and it was stated that that would be to get the water district started. That amounts to $445,000 a year. And then from there, apparently what the district is supposed to do is to provide a receiving entity and distributing entity for water that they can then bring in from elsewhere, whether it's from Lake Oroville, which has about a 27,500 acre feet a year allotment reserved for Butte County under the terms of letting them bring their gigantic project in here 60 years ago. There's possibly water from Paradise coming through the new sewer infrastructure they're currently signing off on without very much public awareness or input in Chico and Paradise. And then there's surface water from within the ownership of the district. And I've looked at the map, and I've looked at the owners of the districts. The largest landowner in the proposed Tuscan Water District is Farmland Reserve, which is the international agriculture investing arm of the Church of Latter-day Saints, based in Salt Lake City. Almost the entire stretch of Sacramento riverfront in the Tuscan Water District belongs to them. So if we're talking about, you know, we have an extraordinarily wet year right now, which is wonderful. All the growers are so happy. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy. Of course. Are you happy?
I'm happy.
Yeah. Let's say 5 years from now we have another wonderfully wet year and the Tuscan Water District is established and up and running. So they've been pumping away, saying when that wet year comes, we're going to have all this extra water and we have the infrastructure to pump it into the ground and everything's going to be okay. But when that water is pumped into the ground by that large landowner, they have legal claim to pump that water back out. And if they have taken loans to fund their agricultural operations or expand them, and in many cases they have, they're going to be obliged to pump that water out again within a certain number of years, regardless of what the condition of the groundwater is or how far it has sunk. So the hazard of this that I see is that rather than come up with a community buy-in plan that everybody can accept, know about, and understand, to reduce pumping all around by a modest amount on everybody, to just not hurt the aquifer anymore, I see the Tuscan Water District as a vehicle to kick the can down the road, spend a whole lot of public money on infrastructure that when it's built, apparently will only make it easier for the state of California to walk in one day and say, oh, now you've got all this infrastructure and this big tub full of water, we need it. Because they can do that, especially if it's publicly funded infrastructure, which it will be.
We've got a couple directions to go. Jim, I wonder if you could weigh in on SGMA. I've always been puzzled about why SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, which is already an existing organization, there are meetings, you're not altogether happy with what they're doing, but why isn't that sufficient? Why layer the Tuscan Water District on top of SGMA, the VINA Groundwater Association, and so forth?
Stephen, you seem to have a higher opinion of SGMA than I do. Sustainable Groundwater Management Act was created to assure a reliable supply of groundwater in California basins. The VINA Groundwater Sustainability Unit is located in the northern part of Butte County on the valley floor, running from Butte Valley in the south to Tehama County line in the north, and the foothills on the east and the river on the west. It also encompasses the city of Chico. Unfortunately, the VINA, like many groundwater sustainability agencies, have been dominated by the historic water users in the region. And the plans currently developed would favor those with the strongest voices, the most money, and the most political power. And while it included novel stakeholder engagement process, I in fact represented the environmental community on the stakeholder advisory committee, and it gives it the appearance, the facade of local control. But the drinking water and environmental users of groundwater have had little leverage in the final so-called sustainability plan for the VINA, as well as the Butte plans and the Calusa plans. In fact, the final plans submitted by the Vienna, Butte, and Colusa subbasins appear to fulfill a longstanding statewide water supply scheme envisioned by the State Department of Water Resources and the federal United States Bureau of Reclamation. And having the Tuscan Water District, if it's formed, to implement these groundwater banking procedures gives it the veneer of local control. Back in 2006, the Department of Water Resources and the Bureau of Reclamation provided the funding for a study on how to integrate the Tuscan Aquifer into the state water supply through conjunctive use. Conjunctive use requires that you draw down the aquifer level to create storage space during dry years and then try to refill it by various recharge means during the wet years. And here's a quote from the plan. The Glen Close Irrigation District and Butte Basin projects, which are the irrigation districts in Butte County, respectively provided the potential to pump the largest quantity of groundwater and are already well integrated into the surface water system. Conjunctive management operations would utilize wells within the Glen Close District and the Butte Basin as a backstop for more aggressive operation of Shasta Reservoir and Oroville Reservoir, respectively. So in other words, they would aggressively let the water out of Shasta and Oroville and send it south and replace it with groundwater instead. And they decided what they needed to do, and this is another quote, the purpose is to construct alternative ways of furnishing a substitute surface water supply to current Lower Tuscan groundwater users to eliminate the risks to them of more aggressive pumping of the formation. And the Tuscan Water District's sole purpose was to import, transfer, and recharge groundwater. DWR postulates that most of the groundwater goes into the aquifer along the eastern foothills of the valley. This means that recharge occurs at the eastern margin and extraction would occur at production wells in the Butte Basin and the eastern basin portions of Glen and Colusa counties. This allows an aquifer management regime in which recharge occurs on the eastern side and pumping would occur in production wells in these irrigation districts. Therefore, if the aquifer was depressurized, here's another quote, in the deeper zones of the aquifer system due to the extraction of large volumes of groundwater from deep wells, then eventually the water would come out of storage in the recharge area, reducing groundwater levels. So their idea was if they can get a system of canals the way the Tuscan Water District imagines into areas that are currently served by groundwater pumps, they could eliminate the risks to the pumpers. And finally, here's another quote from the grant. The Lower Tuscan Formation, if integrated into California's water supply system, could provide major water supply reliability benefits. It will take decades before we know enough about the aquifer to devise a risk-free regime, and yet it would be foolish to require that the aquifer remain an underperforming asset in the interim. So they're remarkably open in their plan, and the extreme operational ranges that have been put forth over the objections of numerous stakeholders that have been engaged in this process, where they would allow the aquifer to decline to up to 200% the historic low, is just another factor that would fulfill the scheme to convert our commonly held aquifer, which is relatively balanced and provides base flow to streams and water to keep the oak trees and the urban forest alive. It would allow it to decline to really unreasonably low levels with the promise that they could attempt to refill it later on.
Jeff, you groaned briefly when Jim was talking. Tell us what you're feeling or seeing with what he has described.
I'm beginning to think that the people who govern us look at us all as underperforming assets, you know? I mean, What am I doing to grow the economy right now for some distant corporation? Nothing. We're on a community radio station complaining. But I'm proud of that. No, as an aside, and one that I hope people who really are rooted here in Butte County and really care about the future of this area and our just wonderful quality of life and life ways. We all know that almost every aspect of our lives, our culture, are being colonized bit by bit by that same voice that just thinks everything is either a performing asset or an underperforming asset. It's not that Lex Luthor is hiding out in a cave and trying to flick a switch and steal our water. These are processes. They're very, very big, and they're much bigger than Butte County. And, of course, more and more of the ownership of the agricultural land is from outside Butte County. Everybody knows that. When you allow our public goods to be turned over to some kind of management committee that thinks that way, we're already losing the game, and we're losing the water.
So who is that voice of the quotation? Who wrote that? And Jim, and who's the villain here? I mean, how do we target?
Well, some people might disagree with me.
Okay.
That I think that that the architects for this kind of scheme are just evil people. I think they're just ambitious. I think that they think that their intentions are noble,
so they're deluded.
Misuse of the term conservatives. They consider themselves to be conservatives, but they don't want to conserve the quality of life up here. And who wrote that? That was all those quotes were from a grant proposal written by the Glen Clarissa Irrigation District for funding from the California Department of Water Resources and the United States Bureau of Reclamation. The DWR are the ones that operate Oroville Reservoir and provide water to the Butte Basin rice growers. And the Bureau of Reclamation is the agency that runs Mount Shasta and provides water to the districts on the west side of the river. And they were certainly encouraged by both of these entities to apply for this, and they did receive the multi-million-dollar grant proposal to come up with a plan. And what disturbs me is how Butte County staff, under the leadership of Mr. Gosselin, created this side of the river's implementation of that plan. He oversaw the creation of the VINA plan, for instance, of the VINA groundwater sustainability plan. And over the objections of myself and Dr. Todd Green from the University Geology Department, Ann Dawson, who's a domestic well owner, and Bruce Smith, who is a real estate investor here, who understands that water is the key to maintaining real estate values here. We all strongly objected to the direction that the VINA plan was taking, allowing for these steep declines and focusing on recharge projects rather than conservation projects. And they more or less ignored our input. And so even though they promised there was going to be stakeholder involvement and honoring some of the wishes of a stakeholder, the best prepared people in the stakeholder advisory committee were ignored in the final product.
And Mr. Gosselin has now moved on. Where is he working?
Paul Gosselin, after the VINA plan was drafted, In its final form, he resigned from his position as the director of Butte County's Department of Water. And within a couple of weeks, he was installed as the deputy director of the California Department of Water Resources, in charge of SGMA. He is the top administrator of SGMA in the state of California now.
Let's take just a moment to tell our listeners, this is Ecotopia on KZFR. We're talking with Jim Brobeck by phone, of Jim of Aqualliance. Jeff Obser, a landowner and concerned citizen in the near Crouch Road in southern Chico. Sorry, did I give away your address? I apologize.
Everyone knows where that sewer pipe's going, Stephen.
Aqualliance, I'm a water policy analyst at Aqualliance,
right.
And Aqualliance is challenging the VINA plan, the Butte plan, and the Colusa plan in court. The Tuscan Water District is kind of under the umbrella of the VINA plan.
Okay, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask about the relationship between the VINA plan and the Tuscan aquifer. So, could you say a little bit more about that before you move on?
The Tuscan Water District's sole purpose for forming would be to implement artificial recharge projects by installing extremely expensive canal infrastructure in an attempt to provide water for current growers current groundwater dependent growers who may be impacted when the groundwater is pulled out from underneath them. So Aqualliance thinks that these plans just do not follow the stated intention of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. And we have filed lawsuits that have been validated by initial court cases. By validated, I mean that they were challenged by the different agencies that are putting these projects forward and saying, oh, these are just these are inconsequential, irrelevant lawsuits. Well, the court decided no. These are valid lawsuits, and so these are going to be going to court sometime later this year. And the reason we did it is because the VINA Subbasin Groundwater Sustainability Plan fails to achieve sustainable groundwater management for the basin. It fails to provide for the management and use of the groundwater in a manner that can be maintained without causing undesirable results, and far from halting overdrafting. And achieving a balance between pumping and recharge, the VINA groundwater plan accepts the reduction of groundwater levels of up to 200% below the well's historic range. And this would result in the failure of perhaps hundreds of domestic wells in the subbasin. It has the potential for instigating land subsidence.
Right.
And there would be harmful impacts to connected terrestrial ecosystems and streams as well. They did not disclose these impacts when they created the plan, as well as other impacts to water quality. We're claiming the plan is insufficient and the effects of this aggressive use of the groundwater are improperly deferred to future analysis. Well, we'll just cover this later, because they're saying they can't implement any of these recharge projects without undergoing analysis by the California Environmental Quality Act. But unfortunately, Governor Newsom has very powerful executive powers, and right now CEQA has been suspended for any groundwater recharge projects. He's saying this is an emergency. We need to just bypass an environmental analysis and figure a way to recharge these aquifers, when really the focus should be on how can we conserve the resource.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Go ahead.
What's the motivation? What's the motivation of the plan to take all of that groundwater? What motivates that plan of the VINA district?
It's a political game that goes all the way to the top. The state of California has long looked at Butte County and the Tuscan Aquifer as being an underutilized source. I mean, they built the reservoir, the Oroville Reservoir, destroying thousands of acres of beautiful riparian habitat and forest land in order to meet demand that was coming from south of the Delta. And now they're attempting to convert the groundwater system underneath Butte County that's been long recognized as a robust aquifer system into a radically level going up and down aquifer system. They want it to be an underground reservoir. And we've seen what reservoirs look like during dry periods. It's a travesty, the sacrifice zones that occur in the Feather River drainage when the reservoirs drain down to the bottom mud. All these eroding, naked landscapes that right now, with the rain pouring on it, pours all that sediment into the river. Well, if you drain the aquifer, they say, well, we're just draining it temporarily. We'll refill it later. That's going to have impacts on the surface. It's going to have impacts on the trees, on the quality of life for us here. And then there's the legal parameters that Jeffrey touched upon. How groundwater law, which allows for people overlying an aquifer to pump water and put it to beneficial use, it gets upended. And when you artificially recharge then the water that's underground is no longer operating under groundwater law. It's surface water that's stored underwater, and it's owned by the diverter of the water, according to the Vina GSA attorney, owned by the diverter. And so this is one of the things that I really question, whether these groundwater-dependent farmers understand, because they don't have surface water rights. The diverters are the irrigation districts, and they would be selling the water to the Tuscan Water District, but they remain the diverters. And I'm afraid that they may be the owners of the water underground. And regardless whether they're the owners or the TWD people would be the owners, they are required to then pump that water back out of the ground and put it into the water supply within a certain time period. I think it's 3 to 5 years, or they lose access to that water. So they'll be greatly encouraged to pump it out once they attempt to put it in. And I want to emphasize that these recharge projects on this side of the river, on the east side of the river, are experimental in nature. Mm-hmm. We still don't know how rapidly the water flows from the northeast to the southwest under the river, and or into the Butte Basin where the Butte irrigation districts are. This water that purportedly is recharging the Tuscan aquifer in the Chico area and the Vina area may well just slip away as these districts ramp up their exploitation of the groundwater system. Last week, for instance, the Glen Cluse Irrigation District hired a new president, and he was quoted in the Sacramento Valley Mirror as saying, "Glen Cluse Irrigation District is going to be relying more and more on groundwater." Mm-hmm. So they fully intend to make use of this deep well infrastructure that has been installed over there during the past few years.
Jeff, I think you have some.
Just to follow,
maybe some numbers to lay on us.
Well, no, just to complement what Jim is saying. I read the financial press. That's one of the reasons I groaned about underperforming assets. Mm-hmm. I mean, the mm-hmm. people running our world are just we're numbers to them, and that's not because they're villains. It's because they have no choice. They're possessed by the organizations they work for. An article I read today was that, you know, farmland is the new investment hit. Mm-hmm. The prices of farmland everywhere are just going up, 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 and, you know, get on board. And I saw this right outside my door. The minute I arrived, got at my broken-down fixer-upper in Paradise and got out my tools, the trees on a 120-acre patch next to me blossomed, and then the next week they were ripped out. I was traumatized. Yeah, now I'm used to it. They do this all the time. Mm-hmm. my neighbor, who's a smaller grower, wanted to buy those acres, but he couldn't afford the prices. They were bought by what is now the third largest landowner in the county. And they're good neighbors. They're a great company. They bring me a box of prunes and nuts every Christmas. They planted some oleanders to give us some privacy. But it gave me that's just one indication of the financial pressures growing all around us. Now, if people are signing up and petitioning for a Tuscan Water District thinking that, well, if we just give them the X amount of dollars a year and hope this problem will go away, well, what happens when that water has to be sold to them anyway on top of their tax assessment? Because it sounds like that's where it's headed. They're building a toll road for water into the area, and the largest owners, the deepest pockets, people who have all the money in the world to spend whatever it takes to get the acreage and report back to their corporate bottom line that they now have a performing asset, they're going to be the ones who own Butte County. We're going to be a factory floor. I don't want to see that happen, and people have to see what this is for what it is. It's not that there's villains trying to steal the water. It's that in the endless creep of people surrendering to this financialized mentality about the world we're living in, it'll take us all the way to the point where only three people have everything if we let it. And that's been where we've been headed for 40 years now, folks. We gotta say no at some point.
And so how do we do that?
We want to hear from everybody who has experienced or is about to experience well failure. We want them to sign up for our network. It's easy. Our website, groundwaterforbutte.org. There is a place to input your email address, and then you'll be on our network to receive updates. If you prefer to share your story confidentially, there is a physical address. You can send us a letter. We're seeking donations. We don't know how that's going to go, but at some point, we've only really been up and in motion for a few weeks, and we're getting some very good feedback, and people are saying, finally, somebody's going to do something. We want to be a point of contact for the people who understand what's going on, who know that their homes are at stake, and we're going to take it from there. We don't know where this is going to go, but even if they ram this thing through, then I think this organization will end up being a watchdog.
What are the stages in approval at this point?
The LAFCO meeting last Thursday morning had a great turnout of people asking all kinds of questions that the, the commissioners and the lawyer either couldn't answer, or they said, well, no, we just don't know. The main question was, where's the five-year plan on the financing of this? Because under their own LAFCO rules, they need to know that before they can put it to the voters and ask for approval. But it came right out and said, well, we don't know. We don't know what we're going to do once we form the district, because we can't know till we form the district. So there's a certain catch-22, which we're going to roll over like a freight train anyway. They voted yes. They've approved now a resolution to ask the Board of Supervisors for another election. The first election was in September. They canceled it on the day of vote counting because there were so many irregularities in the process, some of which I pointed out to the vote counters in a letter that they'll never forget. And I know several other people did too, and I think it's us who got them to think twice. So they're going to keep steamrolling. There will be a Board of Supervisors meeting soon where they're going to go through the motions of saying, here's your democratic process, we're going to approve another election. I don't know what is good is going to be done if 200 people show up and speak and keep them there all day. They're not listening.
Mm-mm, no,
but
that.
I and my henchmen, my fellow Davids against Goliath, we're going to make some noise. And I want the people in the city of Chico most of all to hear it, because I am just seeing no coverage of this. It's as if it's been forgotten. And of course, there's so many battles to fight right now. if they were being honest, they would include the entire city of Chico in this Tuscan Water District, and then they'd have to really come clean, because we wouldn't put up with it. But it's going to kill all our trees if
yeah,
this isn't stopped.
Yeah, that's my...
The oak trees need... Every oak tree needs an 80-foot deep root system, and that supports a whole ecosystem around each tree. We're already seeing trees die. I saw a whole patch of redwoods have to be cut down right near my place. They're already dying. How much further we want to see things deteriorate before we all demand that elected government do its job?
But I think you're right. I think it's not getting the press that it needs to get. I don't understand that. I don't understand if this is such a it is a consequential issue to so many people. Why aren't news agencies covering it?
Judy, there are no news agencies. They were all deemed to be underperforming assets, and they were stripped of every pencil. And that's, the people who are still doing journalism in this community, my hat's off to them. The Enterprise Record, they're doing their best, but their resources are very limited. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, there would have been a reporter at that LAFCO meeting, and now
right.
there's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chico News and Review is struggling to come back to what it was. They're doing their best, but
they're really struggling.
ChicoSoul.org.
Yes.
Leslie Layton's news site. They're doing heroic work with nothing,
as
far as I can tell.
With Leslie.
I was trained as a journalist in the master's program at UC Berkeley, and I got away from journalism because I don't like to confront people in power, especially for very low wages and people who don't. Like me, nobody likes journalists. This is my home, and I'm looking closely, and I want everybody else to see.
So tell me what the vote will be. Let me understand that. I'm your basic, naive person who doesn't understand all of these kinds of things.
And
but
you don't
what
get
will
to
the vote?
Vote?
I don't get to vote because wait, no. I thought it was Butte County.
Are you living in the Tuscan Water District area? You don't know, do you, Judy? You don't know?
I don't know where.
No,
I...
we're not in the Tuscan Water District.
No. We have.
This is because Lex Luthor brainwashed you with a chip, and Bill Gates is watching, right?
So what will the vote be? Who gets to vote, and what will they be voting on?
Well, the last ballot was sent to about, Jim, what is it, 6,500 parcels? 6,500 owners? Are you there, Jim?
I am, I don't have that fact in front of me, so I don't know. It's something like that.
Yeah, there was in the low thousands of APN numbers were sent
Got
ballots.
It. Okay.
But then there's how many votes?
And the votes
so
were
1 acre, one vote.
Yeah, right.
There might be 6,000 voters, but there might be how many hundreds of thousands of votes? So they would just
for
be overwhelmed by the large acreage.
Right.
Well, Deborah Lucero characterized this as 1,100 parties, families, companies, individuals who are going to decide this. And 107,000 residents of Chico and Durham have absolutely no say, whether by vote or, well, I suppose they could hold the Board of Supervisors accountable for this, but there's no awareness, and they got rid of Deborah Lucero by gerrymandering the county. Everybody knows that. So we're up against a very large, a slow-moving train that's just rolling along, and I want the city of Chico to become possessed by this issue, because it is very, very important. There's not going to be a Bidwell Park in 20 years if we don't get on the job with this.
If the vote is no...
I would like to, put forth an alternative to the way the plan is unfolding. As you know, Aqua Alliance is trying to fold up the umbrella under which the Tuscan Water District would form. But we do support some of the aspects of the plan that are conservation-based. There's one called delayed orchard replacement. When orchardists pull the orchards out after a few years after they reach on the descent of their production value, they pull them out and usually put them right back in that year. But there was an orchardist that I've talked to that presented this plan that said, well, we can wait a year or maybe 2 years, and that will save tens of thousands of acre feet of water on this side. and improving irrigation technology. And what I'm pushing for is to allow these farmers to do these things and give them a tax break. They'll even pay for it themselves. But instead of charging them extra because they're improving their land, that'd be great. But a key factor in this is demand on the lowest portion of the Tuscan aquifer that's starting to occur as the irrigation districts engage in a marketing of their water through groundwater substitution, water transfers. And so there's a nascent program called the Interbasin Coordination Group, where the representatives and the managers from the different GSAs come together and try to coordinate their activities. Suspiciously, these meetings have been closed to the public, even though members of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee have insisted that we're allowed to be part of these. Because they don't share information. When Glen Cluse Irrigation District ramped up their exploitation of groundwater in the past couple of years, they failed to inform Butte County or the agencies that they were pumping more water out of the aquifer than the city of Chico uses. Pumping more water during the summer season than the city of Chico uses in an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
And so this lack of transparency.
Yes.
Could even if we do implement these conservation measures in Butte County in the Vina Subbasin, we may lose it all by getting it drained out from exploitation on the other side of the river. So we need to have real interbasin coordination, and we need to have conservation. These are proven techniques to manage the aquifer in the same way that will protect domestic wells, that will protect oak groves, and will protect the urban forest of Chico. So I want to make sure that the listeners know that there are alternatives that have been proposed.
Great.
And that we should be focusing on rather than jumping into the California water market.
Great.
That's the recipe for extreme declines in the aquifer and degradation of the quality of life in this area on both sides of the river, frankly.
Right. Right.
Jeff, do you have final thoughts for us, please?
Only to repeat that I really believe that if the goal, if people are persuaded that these various new layers of government are being introduced to preserve our way of life, they need to rethink that. Mm-hmm. This is about preserving somebody's bottom line, just like so many other things in our world right now that have gone wrong. And we need to start paying attention. Please do. I'm working hard on it.
And your website again is?
groundwaterforbutte.org.
groundwaterforbutte.org. And Aqua Alliance is what, Jim?
aqualliance.net, just one A in the middle.
Yes.
A-Q-U-A-L-L. And then the rest for Alliance.
Right.
And you can look at the full text of our challenges, our court challenges on these plans and how they're going to, how we hope to protect this area.
So
thanks so much, Judy.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much. Go to these websites. Find out what's going on. Become active. Look at the alternatives that are available for fighting this and join the fight. I mean, it's important to everybody who's hearing us right now. So thank you so much, Jeff Obser and Jim Brobeck.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank
it.
You so much.
This has been Ecotopia on KZFR. Thank you for listening.
North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Northern Star Mills, serving the North Valley with farm, garden, and pet supplies since 1898. Northern Star Mills offers natural and organic soil amendments and fertilizers, as well as natural holistic pet supplies. Northern Star Mills is located in downtown Chico, across from the Bidwell Mansion. And by the Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image opened Monday through Friday, 9 to 3, and by appointment. More information by calling 53-